Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields once again. And today we take a look at the first reading from the book of Judges, chapter 13, verses 2 to 7 and 24 to 25. There was a certain man from Zorah of the clan of the Danites whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and had borne no children. An angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Though you are barren and have had no children, yet you will conceive and bear a son. Now then, be careful to take no wine or strong drink and to eat nothing unclean. As for the son you will conceive and bear, no razor shall touch his head, for this boy is to be consecrated to God from the womb. It is he who will begin the deliverance of Israel from the power of the Philistines." God works through us. It was considered a deep tragedy, and it most of the time, even today, it is. Deep tragedy that the wife was not able to conceive a child. And here you have a woman who was barren, had borne no children. And this angel appears to the woman. So she's in some way, she must feel inferior. She must feel downcast. And this angel comes and says that you're going to bear a son. The woman went and told her husband, "A man of God came to me. He had the appearance of an angel of God, terrible indeed." In other words, terrible in the sense that it was so awesome and so powerful. "I did not ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will be with child and will bear a son. So take neither wine nor strong drink and eat nothing unclean, for the boy shall be consecrated to God from the womb until the day of his death.'" Brothers and sisters, I want you to notice here, the Lord knows us from the moment of our conception. He created us in our mother's womb. He knows us. Just because it takes us so long to get to know him, God knew us from the very moment of our conception and loved us. And so in this case, the woman bore a son and named him Samson. The boy grew up and the Lord blessed him. The Spirit of the Lord stirred him. A woman must have prayed and prayed and prayed for years with no response. And then look what God gives her. Psalm 71, "My mouth shall be filled with your praise and I will sing your glory. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. When the storms come, go to the Lord. He wants to be the rock of refuge for you, a stronghold to give me safety. For you are my rock and my fortress. Oh my God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked." Don't turn to all human things. Human answers, human sources, resources can be good, but that's not where to go first. See what God wants to do. Perhaps he wants to do something directly for you. Many times he works through the means that we have. Go to him first and say, "Lord, how do you want to take care of this for me? Show me what you want of me. Help me to draw closer to you so that I can hear your voice, so that I can do your will. For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth. From my mother's womb you are my strength. I will treat of the mighty works of the Lord. O God, I will tell of your singular justice. O God, you have taught me from my youth. Until the present, I proclaim your wondrous deeds." Can we say that? We could move in that direction. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth through other people, but oftentimes through the work of the Holy Spirit and our own hearts and lives, if we're attentive. Until the present, I proclaim your wondrous deeds. Do you proclaim the goodness of God to you do you proclaim it in certain situations? I don't mean everywhere you go, but are you free to honor God? Are you free to express your gratitude to God publicly? I don't mean by crowds, but a person or several people. We need, brothers and sisters, we need to show forth the fact that we have a relationship with God. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 to 25, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly division of Abinadab. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no child. Here's another situation. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Once when he was serving as priest in his division's turn before God according to the practice of the priestly service, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. Then, when the whole assembly of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense offering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled. He was probably startled. He was troubled by what he saw, and fear came upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers toward children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to prepare a people fit for the Lord." You heard what the angel revealed about Samson. Now you're hearing about John, who will be John the Baptist. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers toward children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to prepare a people fit for the Lord. And then Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Now, there's a certain logic to that. But apparently, in Zechariah's spirit, his faith might have been just a little shaken there, which anybody's could be. And the angel said to him in reply, "I am Gabriel, who stand before God. I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you this good news. But now you will be speechless and unable to talk until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time." Here's a good, holy man. And yet, in a certain way, understandably, he questioned it, because nothing in their human bodies would allow for a birth at this time or a conception and birth at this time. And so he's startled. But with God, nothing is impossible. And so you have to ask yourself, how deep is your faith? How deep is mine? It's fine to question. It's fine to ask the angel. But it was in the spirit in which he asked it. He was probably certainly not eager to accept this. He was probably stunned and thought, this doesn't make sense. He was acting as a human being apart from his faith in God. We always need, and we have to grow in this, brothers and sisters, to be able to relate in every situation as a son or daughter of God, with faith in our Father. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and were amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was gesturing to them but remained mute. Then, when his days of ministry were completed, he went home. And after this time, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she went into seclusion for 5 months, saying, "So has the Lord done for me at a time when he has seen fit to take away my disgrace before others." Barrenness was seen as a curse. And she says that the Lord has seen fit to take away my disgrace. You see here, brothers and sisters, you see here the play of between faith and incredulity, the questions you ask, the doubts you have. We all do. We all have them. But at the same time, how deep is our faith? Because as our faith grows, when something momentous, perhaps, who knows, is said to us, we won't dismiss so quickly. We'll ask the Lord, "Lord, help us to understand, or help me to understand. Show me the way you want me to walk. Teach me your ways." And then consult with somebody, your pastor, your confessor, a spiritual director, a very, very good, honestly good friend. Consult with the people who know you. I sense that the Lord might be saying this. Could this be from him? What should I do? Get good counsel. Because God often wants to speak to us, and we don't expect it. We don't expect it. I don't mean he's going to say hundreds of paragraphs to you. One of the most momentous times of my life was simply hearing one word. Just one word. And I knew it was God. And I knew what I had to do. And it turned out to be wonderful. Doesn't mean that God speaks that way every day. My point is, grow in your faith so you can discern human thinking from God's. Read the Word of God every day. Draw close to him. Draw very close to him. Because he has so much that he wants to give you, so much. Brothers and sisters, look at what he's done in the lives of these early people, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Look what he's done. Listen to them. See where they were incredulous. See where they had faith. See what they had to work through. And ask the Lord to teach you just as he taught them. Because this is what God wants to do for us. Brothers and sisters, we're very, very close now to Christmas. Ask yourself, what am I honestly doing? The things I ask you to consider in the last week or two. What am I doing to really draw closer to God? What am I bringing before him, my sin as well as my victory, and ask him to teach me and bless me and forgive me where needed? May God speak to your heart. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.